There are two essential ingredients for an anthem. The first is timelessness. The second, more importantly, is universality. That's how Steve Balton begins his new book. We're delighted to welcome to WTBF Steve Balton, who's the author of Anthems We Love, 29 Iconic Artists on the Hit Songs That Shaped Our Lives, published by Harper Horizon. I finished your book last night and enjoyed it enormously, Steve, I have to tell you. Of all the 29 songs, most of them are ones that I remember playing on the radio in my career, but I do have to say that there are a couple of them that were particularly special to me, so I'm going to ask you about those couple while we have time, all right?
Right.
The Barry Manilow song, Could It Be Magic? This is a really unusual pop song, and yet it was wildly embraced, even though it starts off with Chopin. Can you tell us the story of how he came to write that and how he came to record it?
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that one because I'm a huge Barry Manilow fan, and fun fact, the first two artists say yes to this book, one was Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance, and the other was Barry Manilow. So having both of them in there really set the tone for being able to go so widely diverse with this. And Barry, Barry has so many songs. I thought maybe Copa Cabana was one, but he actually chose Could It Be Magic because he said that's the song that really changed his life and his career. And it's funny because he talks about the fact, my favorite story in that chapter, and he does talk about the writing and everything, but what I love the story he tells of, look, when he recorded that song, he was not planning on being a pop singer. He thought he was going to be, as he put it, a commercial jingle writer behind the scenes.
Right.
And then the song started to take off and become successful. So at that point, he's on tour with Bette Midler as her music director. He plays the show at Red Rocks. He's playing every night three songs in between her sets. He plays the show at Red Rocks, does Could It Be Magic, gets a standing ovation, and it was at that moment that he realized that he was going to be a pop singer. He realized that it was his place to be in front of the audience as well and not behind the scenes writing commercial jingles. So that's why he chose that song, is because it really is the song that changed his life.
Yeah.
And he tells a great story, too, about working with Tony Orlando in the beginning and how he hated that version because it was just too poppy.
Yeah.
But he went back to it years later and appreciated it. So that song is one that really went through so many changes. It was recorded three times before it even became a hit.
It's a great song. I remember when that song came out and we started playing it on the radio and I thought, what is this? This is cool, but who's ever heard of this? It was an amazing song, and I'm a huge fan of his, too. And I remember seeing him in concert back in those days, and he did the very strange medley, the VSM, of all of the jingles that he wrote or sang on prior to his recording career. It was fascinating. One of them that really surprised me, and in a really wonderful way, was Linda Ronstadt, another one of my favorite singers. And I remember when she made the transition from being a pop star and a country star to being a really legit singer. And that's what she talks about when she talks about the song Skylark, which is a great, great song.
I love Linda Ronstadt. And to get her in this book, because she's what most of these artists I'd have long relationships with, I had never interviewed her before, and I had a friend who was able to connect me with her, which was amazing. And I will say, she is amazing, but she was probably the toughest interview in this book because she's so critical of herself.
Right.
So it's interesting. She chose Skylark because for her, she didn't really learn to sing until the 80s. And it's fascinating because, like, she will tell you, she can't listen to her version of Desperado, which Don Henley has said is one of the greatest songs of all time. So that's why she chose a song from the 80s. But she was wonderful. But yeah, for her, she's very critical of herself as an artist. So she didn't feel that she learned to sing until the 80s. And she talks about the fact that, you know, at that point, that's when she starts getting comfortable with her own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the Standards record. And it's interesting because she talks about the fact she loves the trio record she did with Dolly Parton and Emmylou Harris, because the focus just isn't on her.
Right.
So, and then there's one Spanish song whose title I will butcher, and it's in the book, so you'll have to get it.
Yes.
That she says it's the favorite song that she ever sang.
Oh, that's funny. I remember when she first transitioned to Broadway, and was doing Pirates of Penzance, and I thought, wait, is this the same Linda Ronstadt? And then when I heard her singing, I thought, oh my gosh, wow, I've underrated her all these years. She's really got the chops. Another great song was Earth, Wind, and Fire September, which was not even a huge hit to begin with. It became one, but this was just something which I didn't know until I read your book, that this was just a song they kind of wrote for a filler on a greatest hits album that was a contractual agreement with their record label, right?
Yeah, it was a contractual agreement with CBS at the time, and I love that song, and that's one of my favorite interviews in the book because, it's such a fun song.
Yeah.
And Verdine White tells this story about people who, that song has become so meaningful to people, he cracks up. I mean, of course it's played at everybody's wedding because it's the feel-good party anthem of all time
right.
at this point. But also, he talks about the fact that people will literally come up to him and say they've tried to have their babies on September 21st. It's absolutely hilarious. But that song, yeah, it was a filler song. They say they didn't even really start to play it live until the 80s because they had so many other hits, like
right.
After the Loving, you know, songs like that. But September was a song, of all the songs in this book, that might be the one that's sort of taken on the most life of its own. And he says it really didn't become an anthem until the 90s. And then, of course, in the 2000s, they re-recorded it with Anna Kendrick and Justin Timberlake for the movie Trolls, so it gets introduced to all these kids.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also that great scene at the end of Night at the Museum with Ben Stiller and the all-time great Robin Williams, who's still one of my heroes.
Right.
And they play September in the last scene, so you literally see Theodore Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, all these great historical figures dancing to September. And to me, that's what it kind of becomes. The greatest literal party anthem of all time.
I've got to say, a lot of these songs got new life and a whole new audience because they were in movies. And I know one of my favorites on here, Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It's just everybody's 80s movie. The book is just full of wonderful stories like that. And I realize our time is short. And we could talk for at least a half an hour on these great stories. But I'm really appreciative that you worked me into your schedule this morning, and I wanted to tell you personally, I really enjoyed your book.
And I know we got to wrap up, but quick aside, Tears for Fears, yeah. Roland Orzabal did not want to finish that song. His wife made him finish it, and it's funny because he says it's become like a time travel song, but that's a song that's taken on new life in other ways. Lord redid it for Hunger Games, and they loved her version so much, they actually play that as their intro music and then open with their version.
Oh, so funny.
So all these songs have taken on different lives, from cover versions, from being in movies, so yeah.
Marvelous. Steve Boulton, thanks so much, and I hope you have a great day today. Thanks for a great book.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Other songs in the book, The Temptations' My Girl, The Beach Boys' God Only Knows, who Paul McCartney thinks is the greatest pop song ever written, including all of his, Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline, the Fifth Dimension's Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Our House. Those of you who have listened to Book Bits before know the story of that, as well as Don McLean's American Pie. We interviewed Don McLean 2 years ago, and you probably remember that. Carly Simon's Anticipation, Janis Ian's marvelous anthem, At 17, Hall & Oates' Sarah Smile, Chic's La Freak, Toto's Africa, and Shania Twain, You're Still the One, among many others. Hope you enjoy this little quick look at Steve Boulton's Anthems We Love, 29 iconic artists on the hit songs that shaped our lives, and we might say change theirs, too. It's published by Harper Horizon. For WTBF's Morning Show, I'm Doc Kirby.